Good morning. Wow. Who snuck Palm Sunday in here? I mean, it's like all of a sudden it was here. Palm Sunday. 1 week to go to that glorious celebration of Easter. Palm Sunday. It was quite a mixed bag of emotions back in the day. For Jesus and his followers. Of course, you know, Palm Sunday, they were all excited. Man, Jesus, King. By the end of that week, they were heartbroken, confused, and afraid. Really confused come Sunday morning. But you and I know the rest of the story, praise the Lord. And that's why we're here today, to celebrate this triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for the reason for our celebration this day and throughout this week. We give you thanks, Lord, for our children among us. We give you thanks for all the many blessings that you have given to us, from the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, to the cars that we drive, to our health such that it is, to the 2 nickels that we've got in our pockets. Lord, to friends and family, but most of all, for that wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So come, Holy Spirit, and fill us all with love for one another, and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to our neighbors.
Good morning. As you're making your way back to your seats, I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning and any visitors that are here. Are there any visitors here for the first time this morning? There are information packets out beyond the double doors in the narthex on the Shepherd's Crook about our church, or approach anybody, any ushers or anybody that you see. excuse me. There's lots of announcements, lots going on in the church this week. So please check your bulletins for times and everything that's going on. The Easter basket donations are due back to the church today, and contact information is in the bulletin if you forgot, like me. And candy. I think the finance committee candy sales. Candy is in today for pickup. So Diane definitely has some information and announcements for us.
Do you want me to push this aside?
It's okay. It's fine. First of all, don't forget that this week is the Living Last Supper on Tuesday and Thursday. We hope that you'll all attend, that you'll bring all of your friends and family, all of your neighbors, people that you don't even know, that you just meet on the street. Make sure that you invite them. We do have one need for help at the Living Last Supper. We need some more people in the nursery. For safety reasons, we need 2 adults each on Tuesday and 2 adults on, or older teenagers, I guess, older teenagers, on Tuesday and Thursday. Right now, we have 1 person for Tuesday. We desperately need the help with the little ones. People look forward to having that nursery. So that's the first sheet on the clipboard. And the second sheet is for prayer warriors, and I know that Pastor Bruce is looking for some more names on that. And if you have forgotten what all you signed up for, not only is it on the clipboard as it comes through, and balcony, there is a clipboard back there by the offering plate, I believe. But if you have forgotten, it's also on the opportunities for service sheet in the narthex. So if you would check that out, that would be really great. And there is an announcement in your bulletin for Holy Humor Sunday, which is April 8th. It's Palm Sunday, isn't it?
Nice. Yeah.
On Palm Sunday, on Holy Humor Sunday, we would ask that you help us to spread the joy of Easter. Holy Humor Sunday, the explanation is printed in your bulletin. I invite you to read some of the history on it. It's a day to extend the joy of the Easter season. We ask that you wear something on your head. Now, it can be something serious like what I have on right now, or it can be something that you make yourself, something that's in your closet. But wear something on your head, and also wear the brightest clothing that you have in your closet, so that when you leave here and everyone says, "Oh, you look so bright and springy today," you can say, "Thank you, and this is why Jesus rose." And we can spread the word through that. So those are your two requests. And I think I'll take this off now.
Hey, in your bulletin, you'll find this paper folded up. It's a little explanation about Easter, Palm Sunday and Easter. Please take that out of your bulletin, stick it in your pocket, take it home with you. Give it to a neighbor, somebody in the family, a coworker. You can invite them to church, but give them this information. It'll start conversation. It'll plant some seed and get them thinking. And also about the Living Last Supper, now's the time to invite again whoever you invited before. You may have told them about it a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, even a week ago, but now's the time to remind them, because we all plan out a week at a time. So invite your neighbors and your friends and your families again, and offer to bring them, and we'll see you at the Living Last Supper.
Memory verse it is, found in your bulletin, on the front page of the bulletin, and please recite along with me. The March memory verse is from John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
You can sit down and relax.
Yeah, let our hearts and minds be prepared for our worship today.
Prepare the way.
Prepare the way.
Prepare the way.
Prepare the way.
Today is Palm Sunday. As we were going into the city of Jerusalem today, the crowds were coming out to greet us. They were waving palm branches in the air and lining their cloaks along the road as Jesus passed by. It seemed like the whole city came out to give Jesus a hero's welcome, a royal reception, a ticker tape parade, a citywide party.
I am Judas. I do not recall that day the same way. To me, the cheers were shallow and the celebration was short-lived. For in the background, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Herodians were green with envy and red with anger. They set their traps with tricky words and bought their spy, me, with 30 coins. They prepared to kill the Son of God.
Today is Palm Sunday. Today is a day of celebration. Today is a day of paradox. Jesus rode into the city, a king on a lowly colt. Today, his tears, he cried at his royal reception. And the drumbeats of doom barely held back.
Blow it out.
The drumbeats of doom barely held back the joys of the reception. And today, this room should be filled with candles of celebration. And yet, only one candle remains. I must ask you, were you counted among the crowd who shouted, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? But I also must ask you, will you be counted in the crowd who later this week will shout out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Let's all stand, please, if you're able, for our call to worship, which comes from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, number 167 in your Bible, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Follow along with me, please. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross.
Therefore, God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name,
that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Okay, remain standing, please, for our hymn of praise, which is number 278, found in our red hymnal, "Hosanna, Loud Hosanna."
Thank you.
All right. Good morning. And who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. Come here. Who is the greatest person that you know, that you can think of? Your mom. Wow, that's pretty good. How about, is there any actors, actresses, musicians, artists, athletes, anybody? Who? John Wayne, the Duke. Think of the most famous person you can think of. Look at the back door. They're about to walk in that door. Let's say it's Jesus. And who's Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is, according to the Bible, Jesus is God. God is Jesus. They're one. He's also the Son of, and his Holy Spirit is part of that Trinity. Jesus, there was nothing made that was made without him, so Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus made everything. Jesus performed miracles. Can you think of any of the miracles he performed? He made the lame to walk. People that couldn't walk, he had them get up and walk. He gave sight back to the people who were blind. He opened up their eyes so they could see. People that couldn't hear, he opened up their ears. People that couldn't talk, he straightened out their tongues. People who were dead, he raised them back up to life. Jesus walked out off the shore onto the water. He walked across the water to the boat with his disciples. He walked on the water. And one time Jesus was out with his disciples in the boat and a big storm came up. It was such a big storm. Waves were coming over the sides of the boat. Jesus was just sleeping because he wasn't worried. And the disciples woke him up and said, "We're going to die." And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. He told them to stop and they did. Jesus, who did all that, is coming through that door. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2. Well, of course, he's not really going to come through that door. But just imagine if he did. What would you say to Jesus? What would you say? I know what I'd say. I'd say, "Praise the Lord." That's my favorite phrase. I just love that. That's what I do. Just be praising the Lord. And that's what Palm Sunday is all about. Is that Jesus makes that triumphant entry into Jerusalem to save us, to go through everything that he went through, all of his punishment on the cross. He did all that for us because he loves us. And we celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem because there is nobody better, bigger, badder, stronger, more important than Jesus. Jesus is king. Grab a palm, and we're going to have a little parade. That's it. Let's grab all these here. All right, come here, guys. Come here. Gather up here. One more thing. Come here. Come here. Closer, closer. Gather in here. And come with us. So ask people to join us. Okay? Okay, ready? Maestro? We're going on a parade. We are worshiping Jesus. Say Hosanna. Hosanna. Say it louder. Hosanna. Say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Wave that palm branch. Jesus is king. Yes. Hallelujah. This is great. Jesus is king. You two want to join us? Come on with us. Jesus is Lord, glory. Hallelujah. Steph. Palms here. There we go. That's better. We need company. Here, join us. on. Want to join us? Come on, walk with us. Come on, walk with us. Come on, walk with us. Okay, spread out. Spread out. It doesn't matter whether you wave your palm branch well or not. Doesn't matter if you just carry it in your hand here. Doesn't matter if you're good at singing. God deserves our praise. Jesus deserves to hear Hosanna from us. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Everybody raise your hands. These are our palm branches. Not just today. But every time we gather together, anytime you want to praise the Lord, when you raise your hands, you are raising palm branches. It is your way, my way of saying, He is King. So wave them hands and say, Hosanna. Hosanna. Say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Kids, you can come here. Everybody else can be seated. Thank you. Let's huddle up. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you, Jesus, to come into our hearts right now and be King of our lives today and every day for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Okay. Put your hat on.
Amen. Thank you, Diane and choir. That was great. Our celebration hymn today, please stand for it. It's... Oh, we did? King of Kings?
We already did it.
Okay. All right, our word of God today comes from the Old Testament, from the beautiful 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now I would ask that the ushers come forward, please, for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and for all that you have done for us, for our salvation. We give you our obedience, our love, our sacrifice. We give unto you these tithes and these offerings, and we pray that you would bless and multiply them. Use them as you see fit, Lord, as you see fit through the ministries of this church for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, and please be seated. Joys. What joys do we have we want to share? Dr. Bethany. All right. Ready to go. That's quite an accomplishment. Indoor plumbing. Thank you. Kay, your Aunt Crystal got married yesterday, and you were the junior bridesmaid. All right. Good time. Other joys.
Sunshine.
Nice weather forecast. And last Saturday, I know, I'm sure I mentioned it last Sunday, but we've had our brindle boxer puppy for a week. And her name is Bree, B-R-E-E, combination of my mom's first name and Bonnie's mom's first name, and Betty and Ree, so we got Bree. And she is so gorgeous and cuddly. She fit in my two hands. Now she's a little bit bigger, just in a week. Absolutely gorgeous, biting and growling and whining and pooping and peeing and what was I thinking? You know. But no, we're getting it under control, and she is just a doll baby. So you know what a joy pets can be, us pet owners, you know, just they're one of the family. So that's a real joy. Anybody else have a joy? For all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, my homework, your homework, everybody's responsibility. Even if you're a visitor, the Lord may lay something on your heart that we're going to mention here, and I'd ask you to pray about that during the week. So we want to pray for our country and our country's leaders. Pray for revival in our land. Pray for our church that we would surrender all. We would lay it all at the foot of the cross, and that God would anoint our church. We have two Davids that we pray for, two Davids and a Virginia battling cancer. We also want to pray for Matt and family. God knows the details there. I have to go do a funeral. I have to go for viewing to all day tomorrow, and then funeral Tuesday morning. Down at Greene County again. Big family, a Christian woman, a saint, died of a sudden heart attack. Unexpected. So I'd appreciate your prayers for me and for the Betty Piper Stewart family. We want to pray for addicts, all addicts, for their family and friends. Addiction controls people, and it tears families apart, relationships. We also want to pray for our first responders and their families. They've got their hands full, and they see things. Our Barbara is having a knee replacement tomorrow. Pray for Barbara. Men and women in the military and their families.
Larry and Celeste.
Kristen
and Nancy.
My
grandmother is still in the rehab facility, and I'm hoping and praying that we can get her out by whatever means so that she can come and see the Living Last Supper.
Okay. Grandma's name is first
Eleanor.
Name? Eleanor. Let's pray for Eleanor. Joyce? God bless you. Bless you. Dan? Unspoken, just raise your hand. God sees the hand and knows what the details are. And do not take for granted the power of prayer. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Lord, it's like voting. Lord, if we don't vote, we shouldn't complain. And you've given us the privilege of praying. And so we pray, Lord. We add our faith one unto the other as we come together as the body of Christ, and we say thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us, and we lift up into the light and love of your presence. And can you imagine being in the light and love of your presence, God? There can be no evil, no brokenness, no sickness. We lift up to you Joyce and Dan, Larry and Celeste, men and women in our military, in our country, and our country's leaders. We lift up to you our church, and we pray for David and Virginia, for Matt and family. You know the situation. We pray for comfort and peace for the Betty Stewart family. Lord, we come against this addiction in the name of Jesus Christ, and we lift up to you addicts and friends and family. We pray for our first responders and their families, Nancy and Kristen and Barbara. And Bill and Betsy, Lord Park, Betsy lost her dad just recently. We pray for Eleanor and Wendell. We pray for a co-worker's family, Lord, whose mother died. Lord, we lift up to you the ministry of the Living Last Supper. Lord, we lift up to you all the ministries of this church, the outreach and the evangelism, prayer warrior ministry, all of it, Lord. We believe, God, help our unbelief. We believe that you're greater than any problem anybody has. We believe that we have favor with God and man, and so we are blessed. We believe that the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus, and by his stripes we are healed. We believe, help our unbelief. And we thank you and praise you, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? This is the gospel of Mark, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Let us hear this word of the Lord. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here later.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Thomas, who went ahead, and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Bonnie and I we watched a movie the other night. And it's an older movie. I remember Daniel Craig was in it. He's one of the main characters. Can't remember the other fellow's name. He played Wolverine's brother, if that helps anybody, for our X-Men fans. And this movie was called Defiance. Anybody ever seen that, Defiance? Good movie. It's about World War II and the persecution of the Jews, the pogrom program. The pogrom is the wiping out of the Jews. And some of them escape to the forest where they unite, form a resistance, and try to survive. And it's about these brothers who organized this and save a lot of lives. And was a true story, true story. But in it, you see the persecution of the Jews, how their own people and other countrymen that they had lived with all their lives all of a sudden turned on them, and how men, women, and children were just mercilessly just shot down, killed. And, of course, we know all about the Holocaust, you know. I mean, some people try to say that never happened, which people, I mean, the devil just fooling so many people. You know, the ovens are there. And I've seen those other movies. You know, like Schindler's List. Oh, man, another true story about a man who saved thousands of Jews, but it showed the lines of the people going into the ovens, to the gas chambers. It breaks my heart to think about man's inhumanity against man, and especially the Jews. Man, wow. And the Jews, you know, they cry out for salvation, for help, for deliverance. Yeah, there's another time other than World War II. Back in the day when the sons of Jacob, of Israel, they were living in a land in Canaan. It was a famine was going on, and they were almost out of food. Well, the one son, the youngest son, they you know, the brothers had sold off in slavery to Egypt, where through God's anointing, Joseph becomes only second to Pharaoh, and he's put in charge of Egypt, and he gathers up and saves all this food. So when the famine strikes all over the world, he has all this food stored up. And his brothers come to him for help, and he tells Pharaoh about them, and Pharaoh says, bring your family here. Send for them and bring your whole family here and put them in the land of Goshen. And so he does. And his family comes, and they go to the land of Goshen, this fertile valley in Egypt. And they prosper there. And they grow in leaps and bounds because they have favor with God. They have favor with God. And so they're growing in leaps and bounds. And the Egyptians are okay with it for a while, but then they get nervous. They say, boy, everything they do prospers, you know, and they're growing. There's so many of them. We need to slow them down. We need to stop them before they turn on us. That's what the Egyptians were thinking, you know. And so they began to put harsh tasks on the Hebrews. And they enslaved the Hebrews. And they made the workers do all their building of the pyramids and everything else. And they gave them less and less to work with, and forced them to turn out more and more work. They were really put, and then they started killing off all the male babies that were born. And the children of Israel cried out for help. And of course, we know the story about the one male child that wasn't killed, but sent down the stream in the little raft, the basket made out of reeds, whom Pharaoh's daughter pulled out of the water and raised, Moses. Of course, Moses, we know, he goes off and he meets God in the burning bush. God sends him back with his brother Aaron to become a spokesperson for the children of Israel, for those Hebrew people who were being enslaved and oppressed by the Egyptians. And God sends this judgment upon Egypt, 10 plagues, boom, 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 until he breaks the back of the Egyptians. They weren't going to give in until that 10th plague. That 10th plague. How scary is that? When God sends the death angel to kill the firstborn in every household, including animals. God sends the death angel. And he tells the Hebrew children, take a lamb without spot or wrinkle, as perfect as you can find one, and cook it whole, roast the whole thing, and eat all of it, and take the blood from that lamb with a hyssop branch and wipe it on your doorways, the lintels, the posts that hold your door up. Wipe red blood on there. And tell the story about how God has delivered you over the years. What God has done for you. Tell that story. And have your sandals on, your staff in your hand, your bags packed, and only make bread with unleavened bread so that it raises quickly so you can take it with you and eat it. You don't have to wait for it to rise like you would with yeast. They said, be ready and do that this night, because this night the death angel's coming. And there was a lot of crying and wailing as the firstborn of every family dropped dead that night. But when the death angel came to the home of one of the Hebrew children who had the blood on the doorpost, that angel passed over them and didn't harm them. And so Passover, that's where it began. And they were told to celebrate that day, that night, every year. And they celebrate Passover. The kids had a wonderful Seder meal downstairs, very educational, you know. So it all doesn't sink in, but a little bit here and there sinks in. And they hear it over and over and over again, and they learn. But it was a great explanation of the Seder meal, the Passover meal. This is the situation in Jerusalem. They're going to celebrate Passover that week. And Rome has taken ownership of Israel. They have basically enslaved the Jews who live in Israel. And they are demanding money off of them, taxes. I mean, we think we have it bad in Pennsylvania, the land of taxes. Romans were killing the Jews to get the money out of them. They were oppressing them so bad. Rome, who was the world power at that time, had built roads to go everywhere in the known world so that they could send troops to put down any revolution. On those same roads, the Jews who lived in other parts of the world, they were carried away in exile thousands of years ago. Now they were coming back to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem, which is the holy city for the Hebrew people, the high holy city. It's where the Temple on the Mount is. They were coming back to celebrate. And so these Jews were coming back from all over the world. There were Jews there who had seen Jesus heal people, raise the dead, calm the sea and the waves, multiply the fish and the bread, walk on water. There were people who saw that happen. Then there were people who heard about it from firsthand accounts. They heard about it. They've seen Jesus. They heard him preach. They've seen people who were healed by Jesus. They were all gathered there along with people from all over the world who were learning for the first time about Jesus. And now the word was out. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. And they got ready. Because in their mind, this was the Son of God. Nobody could do what Jesus did unless he was the Son of God. And he's going to deliver us from all these heavy taxes and this servitude and this oppression by the Romans. He's going to take over and he's going to kick out these Romans. Here comes our king. And so the people lined the streets. And they're behind Jesus and around Jesus. And they're marching down the road. And they're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they're waving the branches. And they're taking off their coats and throwing them on the ground. Because that's what they would do for a king. And Jesus comes riding in on the colt of a donkey. According to Zechariah 9:9, he fulfilled that prophecy. That your king will come to you. A peaceful king. Riding on the foal of an ass. The colt of a donkey. And so Jesus comes into town. And everybody is just screaming. Now, the Pharisees get real upset. And they come up to Jesus, you know, and he's on the donkey. And they say, listen, Jesus, you need to tell your disciples to quit it. They need to quit shouting Hosanna and worshiping you like you were a king. Tell them to shut up. And Luke 9:19. Verses 39 and 40, it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. This was a momentous day in all of nature, in all of creation, in all that exists. This day, God Almighty was coming into Jerusalem on a donkey to lay down his life for you and me. Now, people didn't get it, right? They thought he was going to be a political king and raise up an army and kick the Romans out. But you and I know that Jesus came in to be king of my heart and your heart, to rule our lives as individuals. We can say that Jesus is king of this church, and a fat lot of good that does if the people don't do what he wants them to do. Brick and stone and mortar, paint and glass doesn't mean a thing unless we're willing to be the hands of Christ to do what Jesus wants us to do. And we will do that because he is our king. He is the only king. That's what the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem means. That's why we celebrate it, because it wasn't just an entry thousands of years ago into Jerusalem, but it's that triumphant entry that he makes into my heart and into your heart, that no matter what is going on in our lives, Jesus is still king. Because we know, as a result of that triumphant entry, Jesus broke the chains of sin and death. This world is no longer our home, and no matter what we're going through, we know that one day Jesus, our king, is going to take us to live with him there. And that's good news. So ask Jesus to make that triumphant entry into your heart again, anew, afresh, to renew your spirit on this Palm Sunday. Prepare your hearts for Easter, for the right celebration, and give God the glory. Shout Hosanna. Say praise the Lord. Tell your friends and family why you're celebrating. Give them that pamphlet from the bulletin. Give them a palm leaf. And praise the Lord. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing. You know, it kind of sets you free when somebody's telling you what to do all the time. Really. You don't have to make any decisions for yourself. So you get up in the morning and you say, okay, Jesus, what would you have me do today? And the really cool thing about it is the results aren't up to you and me. We just do what Jesus says to do and let the chips fall where they may. Now, to the world, sometimes it's going to look like you're a loser, but not about us. It's all about him. We leave it up to him. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. God is in control because Jesus is king. And the altar rail is always open for you. after service, before service, during service, anytime you want to come down to the altar rail. It's the hem of Jesus' garment. It's a special place. Don't let your fear of embarrassment, your fear of what your neighbor's going to think, don't let it stop you from raising your hands. Don't let it stop you from coming to the altar rail. Because this is all about Jesus coming into our hearts as King. So, dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. We pray for your anointing to be upon the Living Last Supper this week, that ministry. We pray, Lord, for your anointing to be upon us as ambassadors of Christ. Fill us with boldness, Lord, of your Holy Spirit to go out and share the good news that Jesus Christ has made that triumphant entry not only into Jerusalem, but into our hearts as well. Help us to share Jesus with everybody we come in contact with this week. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen.